Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. You know that performance counts, so put your pension in the hands of our experts. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1.
Now, do you have a child or children in primary or secondary school? Are you dreading the upcoming parent-teacher meeting? Or even worse, perhaps you have the prospect of one or more on the horizon for the other children in your house. So how do you survive the parent-teacher meeting? We're joined now by Conor Murphy, who is an English teacher at Skibbereen Community College, and by Siobhan O'Neill White from mams.ie. Siobhan, have you been down the road? Have you had any of your parent-teacher meetings yet this year?
Oh yeah, we have. You know what? It's been
that. Oh yeah, was carrying a lot. I felt.
Oh, I hope my husband's not listening because he's the one that went. I just did all the bookings. I'm the administrator. Now we do take turns for things like that. But our school during COVID, they had this. We have a school app, so if you're child's going to be out for a dentist appointment or if they're sick or whatever, everything goes onto the app and it's all recorded on there. So they created a system where you log into the app and you go in and it automates your parent-teacher meetings. So let's say you pick your start time for 5:30 if you're coming home from work at that time, and it just automates all the different classes for the teachers that you need to see in a row. Click on confirm and then you get your confirmation email and that's you. You're in, you're booked.
And how much time? However, that's a brilliant system, actually. How much time do you get with each teacher?
You get about 5 minutes. And you know what? If you need more than 5 minutes, one of my children has dyslexia. So that's a conversation that I needed to have with the school outside of the parent-teacher meetings. And I made an appointment and I spoke with her, the head of her year. And we came up with, just plans to make sure that she was comfortable and she was getting on okay in school. So that's because she needed a little bit of extra help in school. So if you're going to the parent-teacher meetings, this is not the place to have a big lengthy conversation because other parents are waiting and it is literally about how your child is performing in that particular subject. And then, you get some notes, maybe they're good, maybe they're bad, a bit of both. And then you're moving on to the next one and you go home and you have the conversation with your child. But if it's a big issue, I think you need to book an appointment separately for that.
And don't be hogging the teacher. I see Jen Hogan is writing about this in the Irish Times today. This is the biggest sin, hogging the teacher. I just want to say...
Yes, I think you need to explain. This is your opportunity to explain this to other parents.
Because I am so self-conscious about this at parent-teacher meetings that if you have twins, and many of them have the same teacher, and they feel if they've just spoken to you for 5 minutes or 7 minutes about one child, they feel duty bound to do the same for the other child. And I can feel the eyes of all the teachers in the queue behind me burning into it. And I feel like having a sign to hold up to say, I have two of them. It's not my fault that I'm here so long.
I think you need a sandwich board on you when you go in and just on the front and the back. I have twins, but sometimes I've gone into the parent-teacher meetings for one child. And this was really funny because I was in for my daughter and a couple of the teachers, there was a big final coming up and a couple of the teachers were like, right, just tell Mitchell not to get in any trouble because he's a bit of a messer for the next 2 weeks because we really, really need, he's a great striker, my son. We really, really need him in the final. Just tell him just for 2 weeks, he has to behave. So I thought that was hilarious that I was going in for one child. But she was just straight A's all the way, not a bother on her. So they were like, she's amazing, she's brilliant. Now, we have a big final coming up, so we just need to talk about Mitchell for a second. So I thought that was it's a relief in one way that they don't have any, criticism for that particular child. But I thought that was quite funny that they were all the male teachers. He's and one of the female sports PE teachers. Make sure he doesn't get in any trouble. So that's kind of funny. But I think all schools should put together some sort of system because this going in randomly, it's like a cattle market. And you're sitting there and you're looking at and you're thinking, right, there's three people waiting for the English teacher. Now, if I go over there now, then I can come back for the Spanish teacher because there's seven people waiting for her. It's like a lottery and you're dashing and you're trying to get ahead of people. And
People being elbowed out
glad,
of the way.
I'm glad you mentioned. I'm glad you mentioned the English teacher there, because Connor Murphy, English teacher at Skibbereen Community College, has been tuned into this. Connor, look, we got a bit of text query from parents or an advice from teachers earlier on. They said, you know, concentrate on your kids' weakest subjects if you have to prioritise, and there is squeeze on teachers' time. And don't fear the teacher if your child is struggling. Make it your business to see the teacher in the children's weaker subjects. But when you're sitting on the other side of the table, how do you manage the time with parents, kind of give them due respect and give them the feedback, and at the same time keep things ticking over?
Well, I think you should go to see all the teachers, even for the subjects that are doing well, because they can always improve. But it's also very nice to hear that they're doing well in something and get a bit of positive feedback. When parents come to me, I don't really have cues. I do frown on those teachers with big long queues with only one subject. The parent will sit down in front of me. I'll have my points ready to go. This is what they're doing well. This is where we need to improve. This is how we're going to improve. Do you have any questions? And usually when I rattle off through the information that I have for them, they go, no, that's fine. You covered everything. And off they go. So it's very quick, very friendly, and you end on positive. And just efficient. Yeah, those teachers that waffle on, and they get it. I don't understand it.
Okay, that's the big no-no, is it?
Well, if a parent is continuing to talk, as Siobhan said, you can arrange to meet them at a later stage. And if you have a serious issue with a student, you'll have contacted them beforehand. So very rarely do you need the conversation to go on that long. And if you see a queue kind of forming behind the parent, and you can see it, you kind of do a little bit of body language where you kind of lean back and say, thanks very much. And if they're still there talking, you very politely say, I'm sorry now, but we've got a queue. If you want, you can contact me, and you can give the email or the phone number. They can always contact me afterwards.
Okay, anyone who stood in that queue can get in contact on 0870 32 32 32 or 51551. Not the queue. Katie has given her excuse now. We don't need anybody from that queue.
Okay, right. None of those queues. But Connor, I was speaking to a friend the other day about this, and they talked about turning up and getting to the top of the queue and the teacher launching into this appraisal of a child and realising halfway through that they had completely got the wrong child. Has that ever happened to you?
Well, obviously it's never happened to me, but I've heard stories about it, especially when you have I've had students with the same first name and the same second name. So you have to be very, very careful at who you're talking to. And sometimes they're spelt the same. So you have to kind of, could you show me your child on this list of photographs, please? So make sure I'm talking about the right one, because there are, you know, I also was in it when I was way back when I had hair and I was in school, there was another Connor Murphy who used to sit in front of me in a physics class. So I'm sure they had to be very careful about who my parents are, about who, although he did really well and I didn't do so well in physics, to be honest with you. But you have to be very careful. There's nothing worse than there's no fear greater than talking about the wrong student to the wrong parent.
And we do have a text query in with people texting us in to ask, what does the panel feel about second level students attending alongside parents? My sister's a teacher and this is a new approach taken in her school. Siobhan, what do you think about that, going along with the kids in tow?
Yeah, actually, we're doing it for the 6 years because they have their Leaving Cert coming up. So it's the first time that we ever brought one of our children to parent-teacher meetings. And actually, it was really, really good, because this is my daughter who has dyslexia and she's not very confident about her academic ability. And they did mini mocks there a couple of weeks ago, and they got the results of the mini mocks, and she got into the 30s in a few subjects, and she was quite disheartened because they were subjects that she likes and she was really trying. But when we sat down with the teacher and her, the teacher said, look, we didn't expect you to pass, you know, this, that and the other, because we haven't finished the curriculum. It was just to get a taster to see where the kids are before the mocks in February. So when we sat, well, you know, when the teacher explained that to her, the relief that she felt, she just felt like, oh, okay, all right, so we have a plan. And they actually said to us, look, we're going to have a plan. This is how we're going to do it for the mocks. This is what we're going to do for the Leaving Cert. And that was really, really positive. Right. So she felt quite negative going into it, and then she felt really positive coming out of it. So I thought that was brilliant. And I think it's appropriate for children who are doing their Leaving Cert. I'm not sure you need to be doing it for the first, second, and third years.
What about you, Connor? Yeah. What do you think of the student being in attendance alongside the parents? Do you think that's...
Well, There are two. That's interesting, because I literally had my 6 years when I found out I was going to be on, and then the 6 years came in, and I asked them, what did they think? What point should I make on the radio? And that's the point that they said, that they'd love to have been at the parent-teacher meeting along with their parents, and they, you know, to get the feedback, etc. Which I think is perfectly fine. It doesn't bother me if the student is there or not. I'll say it to the student's face what I'd say to the parents. And what's interesting though is parents from other cultural backgrounds can bring their child with them. So from first all the way to sixth. So the parents from an Irish tradition, kind of Irish background, they're there on their own. But then from other kind of backgrounds from across Europe and the world, etc., they'll often have their child with them. And which is perfectly fine. I know though that some parents probably wouldn't like it because they might want to talk about certain issues that they didn't want their child present with for various reasons. And of course, I can always give feedback to the student directly. So we gave back some exams there recently to 6 years, and I gave them feedback after the parent-teacher meeting, and I kept every single one. I said, make sure you tell your parents this when you go home with this percentage. Tell them this feedback that I gave you to make sure that they understand that this is all perfectly fine and we'll work on it, etc. So I have no issue with it.
How honest are you, Connor? Like, how honest are teachers feel able to be in this circumstance?
I'm honest. You have to be honest. Like I said, as a parent teacher, if I've had an issue with a student, and I can't remember the last time I had an issue with a student. I mean, I teach down in West Cork. The best students are obviously in Cork itself, and the best students in Cork are in West Cork. My students are fantastic. So I very rarely have ever had to ring home. I've had to do it a couple of times over the 20-odd years teaching, but very rarely. But if I have to, that's when we'll have that conversation. So when they're coming to me at a parent-teacher meeting, I'm very honest. Your child is doing really well here, and this is what we're going to do. Your child isn't doing too well. These are our options, and this is what I'm going to do. And you always have to say what you're going to do in class, because that's my job after all.
Do you have a certain phrases to cover all, you know, people don't want to be told that their child is disruptive, so do you have slightly less aggressive ways of saying that?
No, I mean, if they're truly disruptive and they were causing me an issue, I would have made the phone call. And if they're just kind of chatty, I'd just say, look, they're chatty or they're this. So I'll be quite open and honest with them, because the parents need to know. But they also need to know that if it was a problem, they would know before they're sitting down in front of me, and they don't have to worry about it. What's worse is when you say, oh, yeah, and Johnny's very chatty. And they go, he's very chatty. Oh, my God, I'll have a word with him. And you're thinking, no, it's fine. It's just full of life. It's a good chatty. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's all. I'd love to have more time in this, but we have to leave that one there for now. I want to thank Conor Murphy, who's the English teacher at Skibbereen Community School, and Siobhan O'Neill-White from mams.ie.